This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are. Whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
You can laugh at me, you can say what you want. It was. Jagged Little Pill was a tremendous, tremendous album. Influential, you know, groundbreaking. I thought that was, I always talk, the three that, I don't know why, and this is my own personal likings, the three 90s albums that seem like very important to me. Now, again, I'm a little younger at that time, obviously. I'm a little younger than I am today. But like, you know, you could argue some other heavier rock, you know, albums and Nirvana, obviously. I wasn't into Nirvana yet at that point. I mean, I like them. Everyone like, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit, but obviously maybe Pearl Jam and 10. There's a lot of classic albums of the 90s. So this is my own personal that just, if you ask me, three of the more influential albums to me, I guess, or just what I thought were some of the biggest albums. Number one would be Dookie. Green Day's Dookie, I think, is a quintessential album, their best, and a huge album of the 90s. I would also say, like I said, Alanis Morissette, Jagged Little Pill. And for me, the Fugees, The Score, was an album that just blew me away. So I would say those are, for me, three of the more important, better, significant albums of the 90s. I don't know why I'm talking about it other than you just heard the song. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. Let's see if we can take a couple baseball calls. We'll get into the football. We'll get into, obviously, the Rangers and how they ruining everything about the end of Sam Rosen's career with just miserable performances. Obviously, you know, the season is over. They're going to be the second Rangers team. I don't know how many other teams, but to go from the President's Trophy to missing the playoffs the next year, obviously very famously done in the early 90s, and we know where that led to. We should be so lucky. I wouldn't expect 1994 in 2026, but a miserable season. Quick played a terrible game. They had no business losing this game. They, you know, take a 4-3 lead. They immediately give it back. Just an ugly way. Last night, obviously, JD and Sam back on the call together on television, ruined by an ugly performance against a lousy Philly team. And just, you can't wait for this season to end. You just can't wait for the season to end. This Rangers season needs to end. Now, I'm not as, like I heard, obviously, Marash and some others, Boomers, very excited, very upset about this Rangers season, as am I, as a Rangers fan. As are all Ranger fans. This was an ugly, hideous Rangers season in many, many ways, from Trouba and Goodrow and Lindgren and everything else that went on with this team, the terrible play from Zibanejad for so much of the season, the malaise around this team, the poor defense around this team, just the ugliness around this team, the quit factor of this team. Something happened. Something's going on internally that has just made this season one of the worst we can remember. For when you bring in the expectations of a team that was coming off an Eastern Conference Finals appearance and winning the President's Trophy. Yeah, we all had questions about who they are come playoff time and if they're built to win a Stanley Cup championship, but we all expect it at the bare minimum. I mean, they had three consecutive 100-point seasons. And that's where I'm going to give them a little bit of a break, and I'm not going to scream at Drury the way some other fans have. And I know Marash put out a big rant about Drury. I'm not saying he's done a good job. I'm not saying he hasn't handled some of these situations really freaking poorly that have led to a culture issue inside this team. But I do want to, and maybe this is me and, you know, Yankee fans who can't stand my take on the Yankees sometimes, this might bleed into it. They've given, like, they've won a lot. Like, this is an ugly year, yes, but the Rangers have been a team that consistently, like, they were, for how long with Hank did they have those playoff runs where they were winning series and playing seven-game series? And ultimately, it's about winning championships, I get it, and they haven't done that since 94, but they had a long run. They sent out the letter, they broke it down, and now they've been an extremely competent, competitive, and, you know, pretty damn good hockey team for the last 3 or 4 years, and it's all come crumbling down. And this year sucked, no doubt, but it's not like the franchise has really been just a dreadful, like, watching Rangers hockey over the last handful of years has been a pretty optimistic, promising, fun time. Last year, you know, President's Trophy, the special teams and the power play were incredible, and, like, it was a lot of fun. And the playoffs were a lot of fun as they were dominating in the first round. So I'm a little torn. I'm not as angry as some other Ranger fans because as ugly as this season was and as much as it sucked, I do feel like the Rangers do right by us as much as a lot of other franchises in this town. But this season was a debacle, and I can't wait for it to be over. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Z-Mac. What's going on, brother?
What's up, buddy? How are you? Good, yeah. How are you?
When are you leaving for Florida?
Maybe even Friday night, but early Saturday morning.
You going to any games this year? I remember last year you went to Camden. You going to any stadiums?
I haven't locked it up yet. I'm trying to figure it out. I think we're going to end up hopefully going to the Yankees in at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa.
Oh, nice. That should be awesome. Yep. Well, have a safe trip, brother.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. Two quick points. So first one is, because you were talking about Williams, I would obviously not. All these fans are crazy. Even though I'm a Met fan, they're crazy. He's definitely a good pitcher. But you think maybe he has a little bit lingering effect? Because remember he had that that stress fracture in his back and he missed 4 months last year. He came back and was a little rocky at the beginning, and then he had some rocky parts at the end. You think maybe that's still has some effects of that? Or
I mean, listen, anything's possible. When you say he was a little rocky last year,
At point.
Yeah, like, I mean, he didn't really pitch all that much last year. He threw he pitched in 22 games. Yeah, no, he definitely had – you're 100% right. He had the stress fracture, and the back always scares me. But he had a – I mean, he did have a dominant season. I mean, he had a dominant –
I mean, the year before, too.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, every year of his career. I mean, you look at – and, Mike, I love you. Thank you for the call, buddy. Like, his numbers – are ridiculous. His numbers are ridiculous. Let me pull up his baseball reference because ESPN is such an inexact stat line. They don't even have innings pitched. How do you not have innings pitched? All right, here we go. Devin Williams, last year, pitched 21.2 innings. So he hardly pitched. Right, that was he had the stress fracture in his back, whatever. He did come back in 21.2 innings. He pitched in 22 games. He got 14 saves. He gave up 10 hits in 21 innings. He averaged 15.8 strikeouts per nine. He pitched to a 1.25 ERA and a WHIP of 0.96. The year before, he pitched in 58.2 innings. He pitched to a 1.53 ERA. He pitched to a 0.92 WHIP. The year before that, he pitched in 60 innings. He pitched to a 1.93 ERA. He struck out 96 batters in 60 innings. 96 batters in 60 innings. Last year, he struck out 38 and 21, 87 and 58. In 22, 96 and 60, and he pitched to a 1.0 whip. I mean, the guy has been a dominant reliever. The highest ERA he's ever had was in 21. He pitched to a 2.5. That's his highest. Since 2020, he's pitched to a 0.3 ERA in 2020, where he pitched in 27 innings. 27 innings, pitched to a 0.33 ERA. He struck out 53 batters in 27 innings. 53 batters in 27 innings. That's nearly two in, that's two an inning. And he pitched to a 0.63 whip. So over the last handful of years, 0.3, 2.5, 1.9, 1.5, 1.2. That's the ERA Devin Williams has put together every year. Like, we are not talking about an average reliever who has come to the Yankees and struggled. We are talking about a dominant reliever his entire career who has now had four bad appearances. And I'm frustrated with him too. Don't get me wrong. But we can't act like this is now a, you know, that he's a bum. It's been a couple of bad games. And again, I know this doesn't make you feel any better. It should, because they've gotten away with it. He's pitched in four games. They've won three of them. If your closer sucks and you're still winning the games he sucks in, you've gotten lucky, because he's going to be good. Again, the last from 2020 to 2024, 0.3 ERA, 2.5 ERA, 1.9, 1.5, 1.2. That is dominance over the course of years. Years. Let's go to Josh in Inwood. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Okay, so I have a little problem with the Yankees.
Sure.
Okay, so last year, so I'm watching the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was awfully, whatever, it was upsetting, right?
Sure.
So, we had a chance to win it. We almost beat the Dodgers. We could have.
Well, I mean, they played well enough in a lot of the game one. They had that game one, if not for the walk-off grand slam. They had a lead in the extra innings. Game five, clearly, they had a 5-0 lead in the fifth. So, yes.
Okay.
They had an opportunity to win that series. I don't know if they should have. Okay. I don't know if should have is fair, but they had an opportunity to.
Okay, so now we lose Soto.
Yes.
We lose Gleyber Torres.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers only got better.
Right.
Why are the Yankees going to beat the Dodgers in the World Series if they play them this year?
I don't know, because it's a different year and we still have 5.5 months plus to figure out what these two teams are going to be before they meet. You've already seen Snell go on the IL. Glasnow has been hurt over and over again in his career. They dealt with injuries to the pitching staff last year. You don't know how it's going to go and play in a series. You've never seen a team lose to the Cincinnati Reds swept the Oakland A's in 1990 when the Oakland A's were a force that couldn't be beat. I mean, I don't know. They're not as good as the Dodgers, if that's what you're looking for. I don't think anybody is. If it's just the best team wins the series, the Dodgers are going to repeat as champion because they're the best team. I don't think there's any doubt.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
But I mean, I think the Yankees right now, I think the lineup has been really good to start the year, despite having two or three bad games in a row here. They hit a ton of home runs. I think they're younger, athletic at the bottom of the order. I think they could do a bunch of different things, and we'll see what they are. And I think the back end of the bullpen is as good as any in baseball, despite the fact that Devin Williams has struggled on the early part of the year. I think Williams and Weaver is as good. I think it can be as good as, you know, whatever the Dodgers are throwing out there at the time. I know they're still waiting for a couple of relievers back from injury, but you've got obviously very good relievers at the back end even now. But, yeah, I mean, I think the back end of the bullpen, and I think They have, I think they're the best team in the American League. I still do. So it's a matter of how they play in a seven-game series and the best hitter in baseball.
100% agree that they're the best team in the AL. It's a little frustrating because I don't think they have a chance of beating the Dodgers. That's all.
I mean, if you're going to look at it like that, again, 2 years ago, I would have told you the Arizona Diamondbacks had no chance to beat the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers are better than they were then, but the Arizona Diamondbacks are still the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're good. They're a solid team. I would have never have guessed they'd beat the Los Angeles Dodgers. I would have told you that the 2019 Washington Nationals, who were the worst team, who were, 15 games under 500 at one point and had the worst bullpen in the league, and they beat the Dodgers in the playoffs. I would have told you that the Atlanta Braves in 21, who lost Ronald Acuna, their best player. The Dodgers had the best record in baseball at the deadline, and they added Trey Turner and Max Scherzer. And the Atlanta Braves added Jock Peterson and Jorge Soler and lost Acuna. Now, who do you think's... They were a team at the deadline and played a Mets series where if they lost that series, there was talks Atlanta would have been a seller instead of a buyer at the deadline. And yet, what happened in the NLCS? I can give you series after series of teams that are better losing to teams that are lesser. So, if you're just going to go by, hey, the best team always wins, then in my opinion, you're going to see the Yankees and the Dodgers in the World Series, and the Dodgers are going to win. Because that's the best teams in the league. That's my opinion. But crazier things have happened before. And if Aaron Judge hits, I would have said the Dodgers are better last year than the Yankees, but if Aaron Judge hits, maybe they win that series. Maybe. John in Far Rockaway. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing? I'll help answer the last caller's question real quick. They just added three MVP trophies to replace Soto and Glaber.
Glaber in particular. I know he had a good postseason, but let's see what Jazz is. He's had a bad last four or five games. He was also great to start, and he's far better defensively. So, Glaber's hurt. I know Glaber's hurt. Yeah, but we'll see what Jazz is.
Yeah, so, there you go. So, Bellinger and Goldschmidt, they're not bums.
No.
So,
that's right. Bellinger's playing like one at the moment, but yes, I agree with you. They're not bums.
Exactly. So, now, you mentioned before that if a certain player drops to seven, I'm going to, hopefully, I don't preempt you, but if I do, I'm sorry. If Shador Sanders drops to seven, I really hope the Jets take him. I really do. Because as much as everybody's happy about Justin Fields being the new quarterback of the Jets and, getting him on a couple-of-year deal, I think that's perfect for a guy like Shador to sit, watch, and learn how NFL football is played. I think it's perfect for a guy like Aaron Glenn who's going to be here for a few years. I think he is the right coach for the Jets. I think that's a perfect New York situation for Shador Sanders to come into, not the revolving door, which I think the New York Giants are going to be. Although I hope the Giants honestly draft him, although because I am a Giant fan. But if he drops to seven, I think the Jets should grab him. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't. He's going to get him for a couple of years, develop him, and then year three he gets to go out there after watching for a couple of years behind Aaron Glenn. Maybe by then Deion Sanders ends up on the coaching staff somehow, and you're good to go.
John, you stole my thunder. That's exactly what I think. I think the Jets would be nuts if Shador Sanders falls to seven. Which again, I'm with you. I think the Giants, and I don't think it's a revolving door. I don't. I think if the Giants should draft a quarterback, they should draft Shador Sanders. That's how I feel. That's what I believe. I believe in Shador Sanders. I think he'll be good, and I think the Giants are in a position to help him. I think they've got pieces around him, but. And I've done that enough, and I'll do it again. I got 5 hours. What are you doing? You could sit there and listen to me go over about Shador Sanders and the Giants again, but I'll tell you this right now. I've been very big on, obviously, with the Jets, keeping Aaron Rodgers, going about winning, ending this playoff drought that they're dealing with, that it's important to me to have a winning season, cleanse the palate, get this coach off to a good start, having the fan base buy into what he's selling. Because it's tough to sell, I'm a culture coach, when you win four games. It's a tough thing to sell. So I think Aaron Glenn has a chance to be a really good head coach in this league, but I think he needs to get off to a good start. So I've been a big proponent of giving the best option at the quarterback position. They went with Justin Fields. I disagree that that's the best option possible, but it is what it is at this point. But having said all that and how much I think, you know, I've been quoted and I've talked a lot about the Jets and how they should look at things different than most teams. Most teams need to build for the future. Most teams can have that affordability to say, hey, is this move going to make me a Super Bowl champion down the line? Does this have a real chance to impact me, you know, moving forward for years? And I think the Jets are in a position where it's really important to just win this year and get this playoff drought off of their shoulders and change the franchise, whether it's the stories about the owner, whether it's all the nonsense that goes inside the room. Just everything needs to change, whether it's the 170 employees trying to get bought out and everything else that goes with the Jets right now. I think they need to just win. But having said that, I don't think you can pass up on the opportunity to draft Shedeur Sanders 7 if he falls to you. You have got to make that move. That gives you a chance to bring in a guy who has the ability to be a franchise quarterback. And Justin Fields ain't it. And even if he is, then you move on from Shedeur. You'll live with it. Like, but you have an opportunity to draft this young quarterback. You have to find a quarterback. This Jets franchise is where it is because they've been unable to get a quarterback to play the game for them. So, like, if you don't have a quarterback, which they don't, you have got to be able and willing to take a shot on it. And if Shedeur falls, I'm not saying trade up and manipulate the draft. I would have done that for Cam Ward, and it depends on how the Jets feel about it. If they felt one of these guys are an absolute stud that they're going to change their franchise, then trade up and take them. That's what you do with quarterbacks if you believe. But having said that, I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about if this really starts to happen and Shedeur starts to drop. If he gets to 7 with the Jets, and I'll bring the Giants back into it a little bit. If he drops to 7 with the Jets, they have to take him. You have to take that possible future quarterback. And it's a good position for him. You're right. You've got Fields for possibly 2 years, at least one here, and you could always figure it out next year if you think Shedeur is ready. And if Fields ultimately isn't successful, and I don't know how successful he'll be. I mean, we saw what happened in Pittsburgh, right? We just played the quote of him saying, I'm not going to talk about my time in Pittsburgh. Yeah, your time in Pittsburgh was old man Wilson was deemed a better option even as he faded down the stretch of the season. And at no point did they think to going back to him. And that's Mike Tomlin, one of the best head coaches in the league, at no point even considered going back to Justin Fields as Wilson and that team faded down the last four games of the regular season. But you bring in Shedeur, you have him with Tyrod Taylor, one of the better veterans and well-traveled guys and, you know, understand what it's about. Like I think you put him in that room, you let Fields play this year. Maybe at some point you make the transition to Shedeur Sanders, but if he falls to the Jets at 7, I think you absolutely have got to take Shedeur Sanders. You have to. You have to. You have to think about your future quarterback. And if Justin Fields becomes the guy, then you're not worried about pissing off. Like, if you play this, and this is what I don't understand about, like, yeah, is there a player at 7 who could help them be better this year as opposed to a quarterback in the future? Sure, sure. And I understand how I've been about the Jets, but this is a unique situation if a top 2 quarterback in the draft falls to them at 7. But, like, the idea that, oh, what happens if, you know, Fields is the guy? If Fields is the guy, then who cares? You found your quarterback. And I'll move Shedeur Sanders for a second or third round pick, and I'll live with the idea I took a chance with the 7th overall pick, and I won't care because I found my quarterback, which is the biggest answer to every team in the history of the NFL. So I'll be happy that I found my quarterback, and I won't be all upset about how I wasted a first round pick on him. For Shedeur Sanders, all for 1 year, I'll probably get a second or third round pick for him if I trade him, if I feel Fields is the guy. And if Fields isn't the guy, I have my quarterback in the future sitting and waiting. Like, the Jets don't have a quarterback. If he falls to them, they have to take him. And then I'll also say, if he falls to the New York Jets at 7, and the Jets do not take, like, there's going to be a point. Like, say the Giants take either Carter or Hunter, right? Because I don't think it would be anybody else. Say they take either Carter or Hunter. And then Shedeur Sanders falls past the Jets. I think you start talking about when the Giants get back into the first round to trade back in and get Shedeur Sanders later in the first round. Because they have the second, they have the 34th pick. They have the second first round pick. If it gets past the Jets at 7, then you start looking at, you know, maybe New Orleans would take him at 9. Carolina's not going to take him at 8. The Bears aren't going to take him at 10. Could the Niners take him at 11? You start wondering, like, where is he going to go if he falls past the Jets at 7? If he gets through the Raiders, which, you know, now with Geno Smith, you think he probably will. Like, he's not going to get drafted by the Patriots. He's probably not going to get drafted by the Jaguars. I don't think the Raiders with Geno Smith. He gets past the Jets. He's going to get past 8. Like, now you're talking about, I'm willing to give up that 34th pick and a number one next year to move up to the 9, 11, 12 with the Cowboys and try and get back into the first round and draft Shedeur Sanders. Because I'll tell you this right now, you want to talk about a home run for a GM? If he gets one of the two best defensive players and two best players in this draft and then finds a way to still get Shedeur Sanders, that's you want to talk about saving this GM and coach's job? Yeah, I know it's about wins. If they get two of the perceived top three picks this entire time, now whether or not Shedeur Sanders has been viewed as a top three player or not in this draft, he's been valued as a top three pick this entire time. If they find a way to both get Carter and Shedeur Sanders, I mean, you are talking about the best of both worlds. And that is one way to sell the owner on the future. We just got a premier defensive player that we think can be a generational type player, whether a shutdown corner plus a wide receiver or an excellent pass rush, the likes of Micah Parsons. I just got that player and I found the future quarterback of this league. And it's not just taking a flyer on Milrow or taking a flyer on McCord or taking a flyer on Jackson Dart. It's going up and getting one of the two top quarterbacks in this draft. I mean, that's what you're trying to do. So for me, I'm looking at the Jets as the line of demarcation for Shedeur Sanders. If he gets past the Jets at 7, if I'm the New York Giants and I've passed on him once, I'm moving heaven and earth to get back into that first round and see if I could take Shedeur Sanders. 888-808-1019, but he should not get past the Jets at 7. 888-808-1019, McMonagle here with you. Continue to take your phone calls. Quick break. We'll come right back. Open it up to a little football. How would you feel about the Giants if Shedeur Sanders continues to fall? And you look at the teams there in this draft. At what number, if he gets past? Because to me, it's the Jets at 7 and then the Saints at 9. Because the Bears won't take him at 10. I don't know how San Francisco feels about the quarterback situation. They would scare me a little bit. Would I be willing to move up to San Francisco? Give them whatever they need. The 34th pick in this draft, which is the second round pick. The 34th, next year's one, maybe another three to move up and take Shedeur. That's what, because we've always talked about the Giants moving back into the first round possibly to take a quarterback. If Shedeur Sanders is sitting there at draft day and his name doesn't get called through the first 7 picks, through the first 8 picks, gets through the Saints at 9, I think the Giants have to try and jump back into the first round and take Shedeur. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or dsw.com.
Next, right here on The Fan. There's probably a Guns N' Roses album that you could put as one of the better albums of the 1990s, no doubt. Bon Jovi. No, Slippery When Wet had to be the 80s. I'm losing my mind. Yeah, Slippery When Wet was definitely the 80s. Crossroads was like his best. That was his best of album that had the new single of Always on it. But Bon Jovi had some, you know, big moments in the 90s. I just, me and my buddy Mike was a huge Bon Jovi fan. I remember listening to Bon Jovi. We went, that was the first concert I ever went to. It was Bon Jovi at Jones Beach.
Wow.
Yep.
How about that?
1994.
Jones Beach Amphitheater.
Yes, Jones Beach Amphitheater. And it was right around then. It was like 94, whenever Always came out. That was the big single at the moment. Always, Boys to Men, I'll Make Love to You. That's one of the, Boys Ooh. To Men, yeah. Boys to Men 2 was a classic album. Obviously, Cool Harmony. I'm not saying the name right, but there was the one with like End of the Road and Motown Philly. Cool Harmony. Why am I not thinking of the name of the Boys to Men album? What's the name of the boys, that first Boys to Men album? It's like Cool Funky Harmony. Why am I thinking? Cool High Harmony. That's what it is. Cool High Harmony.
Coolie High.
Coolie High Harmony, yeah. 1991. Boys to Men 2, 1994 with Water Runs Dry and I'll Make Love to You is the big hit from that album, On Bended Knee, and a cover, a pretty damn good cover of Yesterday.
Wow.
How about that?
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah, they do a version of Yesterday. Not bad.
Acapella. Let me ask you a question, though, real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
What out of all the boy bands in that era, 80s, 90s, like if you want to throw in the Backstreet Boys and all that, you're more than welcome to.
Right, right.
Which one are you giving the nod to as the best?
Yeah, Boys to Men.
Really?
Yeah. They were my favorite. I love Boys to Men. I can't think of one that was better. I mean, Backstreet Boys had some good songs, and NSYNC had some good songs.
Not a New Kids guy?
New Kids on the Block, no.
Not a Donnie Wahlberg?
No, it was not a New Kids on the Block guy. It was a little, I guess I was in that age, but it was more of a girl's thing than a guy's thing. I never really got into them. Boys to Men I got into.
New Edition? A little too old for you?
Yeah, I'm a little younger to get into New Edition. Trying to think. Is it Soul for Real? What was the... I don't know. But to me, yeah, Boys to Men. Now, they stopped making great... Like, only the first two albums are great. Then there's a couple of songs on some of the later, like, you know, All Four Seasons and some other songs that were pretty good. The song with Mariah Carey was a big hit that I loved. What's the name? It's about, you know, it's about death. What the hell's the name of that song? Looking Down. And I know you're looking down on me from heaven. Like so many friends we've lost along the way.
One Sweet Day.
One Sweet Day. Yes. But no, Boys to Men was my all-time favorite.
Wow.
It goes back. I have like memories of being either in the car or trying to fall asleep with my Walkman and my Boys to Men tape and going to sleep to that. I mean, I love Boys to Men. I was a huge Boys to Men guy. I liked all that. I used to have like my tape cassettes that I would try to fall asleep to were Boys to Men, SWV. Do you remember Sisters Ooh. With Voices?
No, I don't.
SWV. I'm trying to think what else. I had a couple of tapes like that were like kind of just like that mellow kind of melodic love song type stuff that would like put me to sleep.
Oh.
But yeah, no, I had a yellow Walkman, that classic looking vintage yellow and gray Walkman with the crappy headphones that were like practically like just like a metal string with like the little circle foam ear, you know, headphones. I had the quintessential Zach Morris Walkman, and I would listen to Boys to Men. I would listen to Sisters with Voices. I would listen to Green Day. I would listen to I had all those tapes. The first CD I ever got was Vanilla Ice. The Vanilla Ice album was the first CD
I ever got. Ice Ice Baby.
A couple of them. Ace of Base was another album I feel like I had early on. I don't know why. That's early 90s. That was a good album, too. Ace of Base was a good album. I forget the name of the actual album, but I Saw the Sign and All That She Wants Is Another Baby. You guys remember these songs? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nothing like 90s music. Oh, I love UB40. That's another. Love UB40. I'm going on vacation. I'm driving down to Florida this week. On vacation, I make sure to do it every single year. I play two UB40 songs at the start of every vacation.
I guess.
Go ahead. I mean, they're one of the hits, so it's like, you know.
I can't help falling in love with you.
No, but I love it, but it's not my vacation songs. When I first started doing this show, I was doing segments every other day or once a week. I think it was like Get to Know Your New Overnight Host. And I was talking about all, and I did one was my favorite movie like soundtrack song. And that was the soundtrack for a terrible movie. That was the main song, if you watch the video. UB40, I Can't Help Falling in Love with You was that terrible movie Sliver with Sharon Stone and Billy Baldwin, or one of the Baldwins, where he's like, he owns this hotel or apartment building, and she has an apartment. He has cameras in there, and it's like a weird, like, you know, sort of stalker love sex story with Sharon Stone. Anyway, that was the movie. That was from that movie. I love it. But no, those aren't my two vacation songs.
Red Red Wine.
Red Red Wine is absolutely a vacation song. There's just no doubt about it. I always listen to Red Red Wine. It just feels like around the pool with a cocktail, Red Red Wine. You could be on a cruise ship right now reading your favorite John Grisham book and Red Red Wine playing in the background while you watch people, you know, all do all kinds of like activities around the pool.
It keeps you rocking all of the time.
I love it. And then the other one is, you know, you could do anything that you wanted to, and I could tell the way you do the things you do. That's a great song. They have a great version of that song. That, in fact, come back from break with that one. UB40, The Way You Do the Things You Do. Okay? Okay. That's the next rejoin. 888 808-1019. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, man? How are you?
You guys, you are a 90s baby, man.
I am a 90s baby. I grew up, I'm born 1983. I definitely feel like I grew up in the 90s. I'm a child of the 90s.
You know, because you love the bands and you only like two songs, but everybody liked those couple of hits back then. But if you had to put a music festival together,
mm-hmm.
who's your top, living or dead, your top five bands?
Top five bands to see live. Because it's a little different.
You're going to be remembered for. This is the Chris McMonagle Music Festival.
All right, so music festival specifically to see live now.
Right.
Okay. I'm a Beatles guy. Even just to see them live, which not a lot of people got to because they quit touring. So the Beatles are one.
The Beatles and Bon Jovi.
No, I wouldn't put Bon Jovi on my top five.
Okay.
To see live.
Good.
Number two, without question, is Queen, Freddie Mercury. I think I would love to see Freddie Mercury live. I consider Freddie Mercury the greatest frontman of all time, the greatest lead singer of all time. I would love to see Freddie Mercury live. Queen is an easy number two for me. Not my second favorite band necessarily if it comes to albums and music, but live, I would absolutely want to see them live. Here's another one I'll give you that live I think you have to go see just because of who he was. But I've never been like, ooh, put on a Jimi Hendrix album. Let's listen to Jimi. But I would absolutely want to see Jimi Hendrix live. I've heard about how incredible his live performances are. He played the guitar as if it was a part of his body. Like, I would love to see Jimi Hendrix live. So that's three. Probably Jim Morrison and the Doors would be four. And number five, I mean, I could give you Paul McCartney and Wings because Wings Over America would be one of the greatest concerts I'd want to go to because he does Beatles music as well as the solo stuff. But I already gave you the Beatles. I won't give you Paul and Wings. The fifth band I would love to see live.
Taylor Swift, right? You want Taylor Swift?
No, not Taylor Swift. No. It's a tough one, man.
To the Stones. If you're
no,
I'm
journey, not. I don't think. No, I wouldn't pick. I wouldn't pick the Stones. I respect the Stones. Probably. I mean, listen. I've never seen Bruce, and I know how great he is live. So I could probably pick Bruce. I'm a big. I would kind of want to see in his prime and how crazy he was Ozzy. So I might pick Black Sabbath. Led Zeppelin is probably the fifth. Probably Led Zeppelin.
You tell the truth, Chris. You never seen Ozzy live.
No, I said that. I never did.
Right.
I'm saying, like, I would love to see him in his prime. That's what I said. I've never seen him live at all.
We went to five Oz Fests in a row, my buddy and his two sons, and Ozzy goes on stage with this foam hose.
Yeah.
And he foams down the first five rows,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of, you know, like fan interaction.
Yeah, no, sure. But, I mean, in his prime, as crazy as he was. I love a lot of Black Sabbath stuff.
I never hear those other bands you talk about. You just talk about the Beatles, and then you jump around to little girl bands in the 90s and stuff.
Well, I mean, talk about my favorite band, which I think the Beatles are so relevant even today that it's worth a conversation. And then,
who have you seen the most in concert?
Who have I seen the most in concert? I'm not the biggest of concert guys. I've seen Paul McCartney most in concert. Followed by Billy Joel, followed by, I guess, Bon Jovi, and I guess that's probably it. I've been to a lot of concerts.
You didn't get to see them during the good years.
No, I saw them in 94, and I saw them in 97, 98, maybe, something like that, both in the 90s.
Was Richie there?
Definitely in 94, yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, let's get on the football, Chris.
Okay.
Now, I don't want to break your heart, but do you know the Alabama quarterback is better than Ward and Sanders?
I mean, you can have that opinion. I'm not going to kill you for it. I disagree, as does almost everyone else.
Where do you have him ranked? Where do you think he'll be going in the draft?
I don't. I would think he is. I think Dart probably goes ahead of him. I think there's anywhere between four and six. I mean, four and six.
Wow.
I think you go anywhere between the fourth and sixth quarterback taken. I think he will be behind Ward, Shador, and Dart.
Oh, okay. Well, it's still four and six is so far away from those three, because those three are supposed to be picked in the first round.
Yeah, I would say
there's a chance
he goes in the second or
third.
I don't think he'll get past the third round. I bet you he gets drafted in the third round. And I would tell you, outside of drafting Shador or Cam Ward, that would probably, instead of trying to move up into the first round and get Dart, I would wait for Milroe and think maybe I can get him in the second round. He is a project. He's not a project.
You should listen to his interview. He's got it on the ball more than these other two kids.
If you say so, I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah,
I disagree with you.
One more football thing, Chris. Yeah. You know, the Dragons are having a tryout. I know you're going to Florida.
Yeah.
There's some guys on the fan that are going to try out for Peter Schwartz is the GM of the Dragons.
I know that.
Maybe you can interview him, and maybe you can. You said if you could shed a few pounds, you're going to mow some people down.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come out and throw a couple of pennies your way to see that happen.
Yeah, no. I don't know if I'm good enough to play arena football, but yeah, I could. I don't know of anybody else on the fan outside of, you know, Tiki Barber and Keith. Obviously, Keith played college football. I'll definitely put some people on their ass. That's what I was good at. I was good at putting people on their ass.
We got to get you ready to be a pulling guard.
That's what I specialized in. I played center and guard, and I would pull. I was good on my feet. I could move for my size. Those days are long gone, I guess, but I still feel them in my bones. But yeah, I was able to put people on their ass. There's no doubt. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. My glory days of high school football. Does anybody else, you know, drink with their friends and talk about high school football endlessly? Is it just us?
No, I do too.
You guys do it too? Yeah.
It's the only way to live.
It's the only way to live. Complaining about the decisions the coach made. I don't understand. Well, because we're bitter. Our class is bitter. Hey, Coach McLeese, if you're listening, it's okay. I forgive you. But we were very bitter about our senior year. The year before, here we go, we're talking about 90s music and my high school football career. The year before, when we were in, I guess, when I was a junior, 11th grade, the Hewlett Bulldogs won the conference or Long Island championship. And they went one way. They had an offense and they had a defense, and my coach was convinced that they were the best fourth quarter team because they were the most fresh and they would win all these games in the fourth quarter. And he thought we had enough talent to go, you know, one way. And, you know, we're still kind of bitter about it because I was, you know, I led as a junior. I was tied for the league lead in sacks as defensive end as a junior. I think I had 7 sacks as a junior, and that was tied for the team lead. And I felt like I was a pretty damn good defensive player as well, but senior year needed me as an offensive lineman because I was just more needed there. They had other kids who could play defense, and they needed me on the offensive line. So I didn't really play much defense my senior year. I was an all-county MVP of the team, only playing offensive line. You try and do that in high school football. I dare you. 888-808. That's right. I know Keith talks about his time. That's right. I was a one-way all-county offensive lineman, an MVP of the team. You know how many people could say that? Not many, I'll tell you that. Probably a lot. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. Quick break. We'll come back. Update more of your calls. A little bit of music, a little bit of fun, a little bit of football, a little bit of baseball. We did mostly Knicks pretty much the entire show yesterday. But we could talk about how unimportant that game was against the Celtics and how, if you're really going to look at it, the only way to come out of it is to say, even when the Knicks have the game in hand, they can't beat the Boston Celtics. I mean, how many people are proud to be close to the Boston Celtics? I'll never understand. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. Quick break, update, come back, your calls next.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.